Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready. Russell Johnson here with me today. We're going to get right to it in just a minute. National Signing Day, the early period, starts on Wednesday. I guess technically it goes through Friday, but all the action happens on Wednesday. Russell's been working around the clock, getting you prepared for Wednesday. We'll get some predictions from Russell, some thoughts from Russell. We might talk a little bit about the February, the kids that will be on the board for the February signing period. We'll just kind of see where we go. But before we get to that, let me tell you, it's just in time. For the holidays, Dead Soxy will deliver your socks in style. Order any five pairs and get their holiday packaging free. Mix and match your favorites for a total of five to receive this special gift wrapping. They've just upped their game for a limited time offer. All socks, including sale items, are 35% off with the Rebel Grove promo code. This sale officially ends at midnight central on Wednesday, December the 19th. Midnight Central Time, Wednesday. So whether you're giving your family, your friends, or yourself a gift, give something they'll look forward to wearing over and over again. Everyone needs to experience the difference a quality sock makes. So go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 35% off, and all orders over five pairs will receive this special holiday packaging free. deadsoxy.com, promo code REBELGROVE, through Wednesday, December the 19th. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is that number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, what previously owned Ford you're looking for. He'll come back within 15 minutes, and he'll give you a quote. You can take that quote and use it as a baseline. You can take that quote and use it as a shopping tool. Or you can do what I've done, what so many others have done, and take that quote and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product, super service after the sale. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy, and he'll prove that to you. 662-257-1900, and tell him at the end of your deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy, and you'll save an additional $500 off the already great bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory. All right, Russell, really appreciate the time. I know it's busy, but I guess as we sit here and we're recording this Monday around midday, pretty much as my old high school coach Chick Childress used to say, and I'm sure he was the only person that would say this, the hay is in the barn.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I would say for the most part, what's going on now is all behind the scenes. Obviously, no recruits can be on campus and coaches aren't on the road. So it's all, you know, phone communication, social media communication, communicating through back channels, talking to the parents, that kind of stuff at this point.
Okay, so I know you'll be covering minute by minute stuff that might change, but as we tape this, and again, it is Monday midday, stuff can change. Sometimes stuff does change. We'll just get right into predictions if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that'll work. Let's do it.
Give me your thoughts. We'll start with the one that everyone's talking about. Give me your thoughts, your latest thoughts on N'Kobe Dean. What's going on there, and where do you think he ultimately signs on Wednesday?
So with N'Kobe, it was originally thought that he was going to make a decision on Thursday, which was his birthday, out in Montgomery. But he wasn't going to tell anybody, you know, possibly maybe tell his parents. And then that kind of drew on. And now we're at the point now where it's Monday and signing day is less than 48 hours away. and he's yet to inform any of the coaching staffs of his decision. Now, I'm sure staffs like LSU and Auburn and Texas A&M all know that they're likely not in the mix, and possibly even Alabama, which leads to my prediction in a minute. But what A&M did was they took a linebacker this weekend. LSU is going to keep the linebacker they have committed, Dante Starks. So you see these schools executing their either their backup plans or their original plans before they even thought they were in it with Nakobe. Now with Nakobe's final decision, I expect him to start informing coaches and family members and things like that either today, tonight, maybe tonight after the game, or tomorrow at the absolute latest, because, you know, you got to have things in place. You want to make sure that everybody's prepared dress-wise for the ceremony. And then you also have the caveat that ESPN is in his ear, possibly telling him not to leak his commitment anywhere because they want the drama. They want to be able to advertise his decision right before a commercial break or something along those lines. But for me, my prediction has been in since last week. I've gone back and forth between Alabama and Georgia several times throughout the past year, and I think he signs Georgia and Kirby Smart on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon.
Well, I'm not going to do this on every kid. I'm going to do it on him because he's such a big deal. How big of a blow is this to Ole Miss? If your prediction's right, and by the way, it's the same prediction I have. I'm picking Georgia. Not that my prediction means anything. But everything I'm hearing right now is Georgia. If it's Georgia and it's not Ole Miss, how big of a blow is that to the program?
I mean, that's a really big blow. I mean, when Matt Luke got the job, part of the reason that, you know, everybody was excited and spun about the hire was because he was able to recruit. He was going to be able to recruit in state and to lock down the state of kids. And with that being said, Nakobe has been the number one player in the state this entire cycle since Rivals first raided the 2019 class, which is historic in its own right, but he's always been the number one. And I don't really think there's ever been any competition from that standpoint. And he would be a catastrophic loss. There's no must gets in recruiting, but for Ole Miss, a linebacker in DeSoto County, who's a five-star at a position of need, I mean, those are all things that you really, really hang your hat on, especially, I mean, losing him could potentially define Matt Luke's legacy at Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to overcome. It really is if it doesn't happen, because had they gotten him, guys like me who sort of, for whatever reason, are looked to sort of put things in context, I'll be honest, the column that I would write would be incredibly flattering of Ole Miss, of Matt Luke, of that program. It is because Nakobe Dean, and you and I talked about this, Nakobe Dean walks onto the Ole Miss campus day one as maybe the most noticeable player on the football program, certainly the number two behind Matt Corral. I can't think of any other player in the program today who would have more gravitas, if you will. I mean, A.J. Brown's gone. D.K. Metcalf is gone. Greg Little's gone. Jordan Tamu is gone. Nakobe Dean would be a really big deal, and yet he's going to go to a program where he's just one of a whole bunch of big deals.
Yeah, and I think that's what has become Ole Miss's really big selling point for both him and his family. Is to, you know, obviously they have the brother on campus. He's a walk-on currently as of Monday morning. And with that being said, with his brother and then the potential of his other siblings ending up at Ole Miss, that's what Ole Miss has almost made their number one selling point, is that being able to change the culture of the Ole Miss defense. And really, I mean, the first impression he had with Mike McIntyre was critical, and there really hasn't been much feedback about how it went. McIntyre told him about how he would fit in the defense, how he would, you know, fit in, because they're going to be switching to a 3-4, which is something that a lot of Ole Miss fans will be excited to see. But if they don't have the players, it could potentially be worse next year from a fit standpoint, not from a scheme standpoint, but from the players they have on the roster. If they don't have who they need, like if they don't have a true inside linebacker like Nakobe Dean, the defense could struggle again next year.
Okay. Let's. I'll ask one more follow up on Dean because I'm curious. Is there a fallback plan? I mean, you talked about LSU and A&M executing, you know, backup plans or original plans. You put that very well. So does Ole Miss, what is its backup plan at linebacker? Because obviously N'Kobe Dean was plan A.
Yeah, it would be signing Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste, the linebacker from South Dade, who visited over the weekend. Really nice kid, nice family. Pretty sure they're almost purely Haitian. I mean, it was a really interesting interview talking to him yesterday. I didn't really put anything out about it on the message board because, I mean, really, the linebacker position, if you miss out on N'Kobe Dean, there's a backup plan, but there's nothing that's going to equate even close to what he would be able to amount to from a production standpoint, from a perception standpoint, and from a playing time standpoint. But they would sign Baptiste, and then they would go after Octavius Brothers, another linebacker from Florida, from Rockledge, in the February signing period. Those would be their two primary targets, and they would almost at that point have to sign those two instead of just one.
Okay, you mentioned Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste. He's down at the bottom of this list I was going to ask you about, but since you brought his name up and I prompted it, what's your prediction there?
Let's see. He's committed to UCF right now, and I believe that if he gets the green light, he will flip to Ole Miss. There is a scenario playing out where if, let's say, hypothetically, very hypothetically, if N'Kobe were to end up picking Ole Miss, where they could also still take Baptiste, but I could see much more likely that of taking Baptiste than I would Dean. But my prediction, since you asked, would be that he flips to Ole Miss.
Okay. All right. Let's N'Kobe Dean's high school teammate there at Horn Lake, Radarius Jones. I know the two have never really been interlinked. So what's the latest with Jones? I know LSU's involved pretty heavily, Ole Miss as well. What's your prediction there?
I'm gonna have to stick with my future cast I put in last week, and that was LSU. But there's been quite a few whispers and thoughts and possibly second guessing between Jones and going all the way to LSU. I mean, he's what, 3-4 hours away in Montgomery right now from Horn Lake, and he's already homesick. So seeing how that could play out, I mean, hours away, Baton Rouge. How far did you say Baton Rouge was from Horn Lake?
Well, from Oxford, Baton Rouge is a good 5 hours, so Horn Lake's another hour. I mean, it's a 6-hour trip.
Yeah, and I think that you could see that playing a role into the decision, you know, as signing day approaches. But you're asking me to guess, right? You're asking me to predict right now on Monday morning at 11:05, and I'm saying he's going to LSU. The draw of DBU, the comparison he gets to Tre'Davious White, it's just they fit well, and the potential that he has in that defense and he sees in that defense excites him a lot more than potentially being put on the spot early and often at Ole Miss.
You mentioned defensive backs. There's one right here in Oxford, Brandon Turnage, who I saw earlier in the season against Oxford. He plays for Lafayette. I saw him in the grocery store the other day. He was decked out in Bama gear, and then a few days later he was on the Ole Miss campus again. Lots of rumblings about him, both Ole Miss and Alabama. As we sit here Monday lunchtime, what's your pick?
I think he's going to end up sticking with Alabama. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see, you know, of the predictions that you're asking me to give of this entire list, he is the one I would be least surprised if I was wrong on. Number one, he's a local kid. The family's been on him. He won't say it publicly. Nobody really say it publicly, but the family wants him at Ole Miss. The people at the school want him at Ole Miss. Other people around him want him at Ole Miss. But there's just this, I wouldn't call it stubbornness, but this loyalty Turnage has. He mentioned it in an interview he did with the newspaper last week, but he really tries to exemplify the definition of a commitment. And for him, you know, committing to Alabama when he was injured, and at one point a doctor said he might never play football again. I mean, he was genuinely worried about the future of his football career when he made that commitment almost a year ago to the day to Alabama. And they stayed loyal to him. I mean, he's flirted around with Ole Miss before. And you're going to see that pick up quite a bit. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up signing with Ole Miss, which would obviously be a really big get. He would likely compete for playing time the moment he got on campus. But as of right now, I'm sticking with my prediction that he signs with Alabama.
So far, Russell, you're the bearer of bad news. But I get it. I've covered recruiting enough to know. You never want to spew false optimism. That creates quite the backlash. Another guy who I've never really put in Ole Miss's camp from listening to you and others talk is Derek Hall. So what's the latest with him?
This is the weirdest recruitment I could honestly say I've almost ever covered. At one point, Hall was moments away from committing to Ole Miss when he was going up to the campus for that big junior day that got canceled from the snow day. Ole Miss was his first offer, and he was just blown away by everything, and it was just basically a done deal. Like, if we could have put in future cast back then, he would have been the first one to get one. But he didn't go to the visit. Mississippi State offered him that day. And then things started to shift in his recruitment rather quickly, to the point to where I'm not sure if 3 weeks ago Hall had a committable offer to any SEC program. But as signing day approaches and other teams strike out, such as, you know, Auburn and Mississippi State and outside of the SEC, Florida State, these schools, they're making a final push. And it's interesting to see, because for the longest time, he wasn't a priority for hardly anybody. I mean, he took his official visit to Auburn, and he wanted to commit, and he was kind of not pushed aside, but, you know, hey, we want to kind of wait, and maybe we'll make an announcement at the best time for the program. You know how they time commitments. But with that being said, when he visited Ole Miss, you know, the whole Gulfport connection thing, bringing the helmet. I don't know if it was his helmet or if they just had a Gulfport helmet hanging around in the Manning Center, but I thought that was an interesting dynamic to add to his recruitment that – I hadn't really thought about too deeply before. You're asking for a prediction on Hall, and as of right now, I think he's going to Auburn. I think that the relationship he has with Marcus Woodson, whether or not he's there in 2 months or in 12 months, the connection that he has there right now and the family atmosphere that he's felt several times at Auburn is going to win out in the end, regardless of the chaos going around on the plains.
I know at one point, you felt pretty strongly that Charles Cross was going to end up signing with Ole Miss, and then recruiting happened, and he ended up committing to Mississippi State, and then recruiting happened again, and he sort of waffled on that somewhat. I guess he's running out of time. He could wait till February if he wanted to, but if he's signing on Wednesday, he's running out of time to waffle. What's the latest with Cross, and where do you anticipate the Laurel product going?
I anticipate him ending up sticking with his commitment to Mississippi State. I don't see Ole Miss making up the ground that they need to in the time that they have, especially down there in that part of the country, to be able to land him and to flip him from his commitment. He officially visited Mississippi State right after his official visit to Ole Miss, and that really should have been the warning sign in the beginning, because he was in Mississippi State lane going into the visit, and then you saw like growing optimism from the Ole Miss side of things going into Cross's visit to Oxford, and he had really good things to say about the visit to Oxford. And then when he went to Starkville the following week, things were just it was a done deal right then and there.
That's kind of how it works. Okay, let's see. Dontario Drummond, what's the latest there?
I think he's going to end up in this class, which would then push out Langston Anderson, the wide receiver who visited over the weekend from Midlothian Heritage and who was originally from Jackson Academy. Drummond's also from Laurel. Like, it was kind of interesting. I didn't even mean to put the two Laurel kids right next to each other in the list, but Drummond was a little bit, I don't know how to say it the right way, but he was looking around a little bit after his Ole Miss visit to kind of see who else was going to get in the mix. He had thought that Auburn was going to get in, possibly. Auburn's set because they're going to be able to keep George Pickens. At least that's what it seems like as of this morning. And then Alabama was possibly going to get in there, but Alabama seems to be going other directions. Kansas was interested in him, and he didn't end up taking the trip to Kansas. He didn't go anywhere this past weekend. So I think that the writing's on the wall for Drummond to end up committing to Ole Miss. I think that would be the one I am most confident in, other than the committed prospects on this list.
Speaking of committed prospects, longtime commitment is Grant Tisdale, the quarterback from Allen, Texas, a longtime committed to Ole Miss, but he was as committed to Phil Longo, at least that's what we all thought, as he was to Ole Miss. Phil Longo now the offensive coordinator at North Carolina. I know Tisdale sort of kind of had his little shock when it happened, and he's had some time to sort of think about things and regroup a little. I know other schools are involved as of right now. What do you anticipate him doing on Wednesday?
There are other schools trying to get in the mix. Speaking of Kansas again, Kansas is in the mix. New offensive coordinator there has been showing quite a bit of interest in him and the possibility of adding a high school quarterback to their JUCO quarterback commitment they got last week. SMU is the local school in the area where you could see, you know, possibly him staying home and flipping to them. And then the other one, which intrigued me a little bit, was the Kendall Briles and University of Houston possibility. Those are the three schools I think have the best shot to flip him. But as of right now, I don't see any of those opportunities being good enough for him and his family to be able to rescind his commitment to Ole Miss. Like you mentioned about Longo, he was really close with Phil. That was basically his boy. That was his primary recruiter. That was who came and saw him. And that was their primary recruiter for the entire state of Texas. So, you know, we just talked a little bit about Langston Anderson. And then there were some other kids that they were in on from the state of Texas early on in the class of 2019. And all of those possibilities, I wouldn't say they've washed away, but they're going to have to either assign somebody nearly full-time in the state of Texas if that's where they want to continue to recruit, especially since they're at least appearing to not burn the bridge at Allen High School. And they're going to have a dynamic recruiter in that area, because Longo, for a lack of better words, was not that. Longo would go in there, you know, he would see the kids, he would talk to the kids, but his relationship with the high school coaches in the state of Texas was not what you would like it to be, especially for an SEC West program.
All right, that leads to a question that I'm going to ask you in a second, which is about what that means if Tisdale signs with Ole Miss, what that means for John Rhys Plumlee. But first, let me tell you, so you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs, you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two too late and a few hundred dollars too short. Well, try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7062, because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary from state to state. All right, Russell, so I gave you a minute to think about that. I know you've thought about it before. If Tisdale signs with Ole Miss, does that mean the end of the road for Plumlee?
No, I think you could still see a scenario where they did take John Rhys Plumlee. I think that would be where they wouldn't be able to add a third running back, depending on what Jerry and Ely does. I mean, that's another topic for another day. But he would likely take that third running back spot, but he would commit as a quarterback, if that makes any type of sense.
Yeah, it does.
And then you would also see them likely process a couple kids who aren't signing this month.
Okay. All right. A couple of offensive linemen on the board, both guys that I guess committed to Ole Miss, have taken other visits. You've chronicled Nick Broeker a lot. He has done the Ohio State trip now. You've talked about Jeremy James. He's done his trip to Missouri. What's the latest on those two guys? What's your prediction now that we are this close to Wednesday?
The situation with Broeker is something that is still developing. You know, Ole Miss felt like they kind of locked him down last week when they went in home with Siski, Bicknell, and Luke. But what's still going on is that, you know, he has one family member, one parent who really wants him to go to Ohio State, and almost the entire rest of his family wants him to go to Ole Miss. I mean, the one parent loves Ole Miss and wants him to be there. Heck, they even may want to move down here if this is where he ends up signing. The other parent isn't so sure. They have some Big Ten ties, and that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because that parent who has the Big Ten ties doesn't get back in town until Tuesday night. He's signing on Wednesday. I don't know if Ole Miss may have planned their business road trip or what, but for Ole Miss, that could spell good news. And my prediction right now is that he ends up sticking with Ole Miss. But if that parent gets their way, he's going to end up at Ohio State. Now, with Jeremy James, the offensive tackle from Georgia, visited Missouri over the weekend. Everybody kind of didn't look much into it because his family wasn't there. It was just him and his brother. But what I found out talking to Jeremy and his dad yesterday and this morning was that Jeremy's sister graduated from college over the weekend, which was why his parents weren't able to go on the trip. Of the offensive linemen they have currently committed, I would keep an eye most on Jeremy in terms of the December signees who could possibly end up elsewhere come signing day.
How big of a blow would that be?
I mean, you have 8 offensive linemen committed. It would be a blow because he is one of the high-level prospects. Matter of fact, I think he is far and above Nick Broeker in terms of upside. I mean, he's got really good size, good feet for an offensive lineman with his frame. But if Missouri is able to flip him, I mean, that'd be great for them. And then at the same time, that would also open up the spot, which we just talked about, for John Rhys Plumlee in February.
Okay. Defensive line recruiting, I know most of that is February. What's your expectation there? It's an awfully important element for this class, not because of next season, but after next season, that there's an exodus of defensive linemen. They've got to get some defensive linemen on campus in the fall that they can start developing to play in 2020, or that's going to be a crisis area.
Oh, it is. It is definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think that's also why you don't see them targeting JUCO defensive linemen like they did last year. We've talked about this on previous editions of the Soft Verbal, but they can't afford to miss on the defensive line again this year. You know, last year they signed James Williams. He ended up at JUCO. Last year they signed Noah Jefferson. He was expected to make a major impact. Ended up at Florida Atlantic because of some grade issues. You Ole Miss can't afford for that to happen this year. You've got names like Ladarius Cox, Jaron Handy, Brandon Mack, Byron Young. Of those 4, you need to sign 2. And the most likely 2, in my eyes, I mean, you could possibly get away with signing 3 if you only sign 1 more linebacker. If I were them, I would, you know, push for Jaron Handy, the defensive lineman from Hattiesburg, who running back commit Snoop Connor has developed quite a good relationship with, you know, being teammates this year, being around each other quite a bit. And I think that may have also kind of factored into the decision to take him when they basically took Eric Gray off the board. And then Brandon Mack from Montgomery Davis. Those would be the 3 I would go after the hardest: Cox, Handy, and Mack.
You mentioned Young. That's a long shot, right?
That's a really long shot. Alabama really wanted him to sign early, and he chose not to. And he's going to have to deal with the consequences that may or may not occur with that one way or another. If I know you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I do. Absolutely. I think the only guy that we didn't touch on is Amonte Spivey. What's the latest fit with him? I know he's not signing until February.
No, he's not signing until February, and he would be somebody who would take that either second or third running back spot, depending on, again, what happens with Ely. Spivey has been committed to Arkansas for quite some time. There was rumblings a couple weeks ago coming out of Phoenix City that, you know, Arkansas may not be where he wants to end up. And then Ole Miss took an assistant coach out there, I think 2 weeks in a row. Tyler Siski went out there and met with him and talked to him and talked to his coaches. Arkansas thinks there may be some problems with some grades with Spivey. I haven't gotten that vibe from Ole Miss, at least not yet. But he would be somebody. I mean, he is, I would argue, better than Eric Gray. I'm going against better competition on a regular basis than Eric Gray, and with a higher upside as well.
Well, Russell, I know you're really busy. I really appreciate the time this afternoon. I know that next couple of days are pretty hectic, so best of luck. You know, we're here to help if we can at all, and I know that the people who listen to this appreciate you taking a half hour out of your day to sort of give the latest, and they'll be reading your stuff at rebelgrove.com. A reminder, you have until midnight Wednesday to take advantage of the Dead Soxy Holidays promo. It's very simple. Order any five pair, get their holiday packaging for free, mix and match your favorites for a total of five. You get the special gift wrapping, and they're offering all socks, including sale items, 35% off with the Rebel Grove promo code. That's through Wednesday night, December the 19th, deadsoxy.com. Enter code Rebel Grove at checkout to get 35% off all orders over five pairs. Will receive the special holiday packaging as well. So that does it for us. For Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That is the, I guess, the final Soft Verbal podcast presented by Dead Soxy before the early signing period. We'll be back at some point, probably right after Christmas at some point, or maybe after New Year's, and start turning our attention to the January and the January recruiting period, the February signing day. Russell will have content up on Tuesday, Wednesday, and probably even after that, dissecting what went right, what went wrong for Ole Miss in the early signing period. So for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it. Take care. Merry Christmas.